As we continue our study in Malachi, the theme has been, God is great, awesome. And today, we're going to learn about great blessings that are yours and ours in Christ. And I thought I would prime the pump a little bit for our breads and spreads, because the wonder about the bread and spreads and the wonderful night is that you and I participate as testimonies. It is a time for us, and we don't want to embarrass or force anybody or guilt anybody into it, but we should be able once a year to stand and honor God for all that He's given us, all His blessings, and be thankful unto Him. So, as I kind of get ready here and want to begin in the text of Malachi 3, 6 to 12, we are blessed immensely as being a Christian. So we're going to look into the Old Testament with God's chosen people, Israel, see what's going on there, and then we're going to transfer it into the New Testament where we live. So, if I was to ask you, what is a blessing that you have received by being a born-again Christian, someone who follows God, who understands what His death on the cross has accomplished, and by putting our faith in that, God has declared you a son of God, a daughter of God. What blessings comes to mind real quick? Say it nice and loud.
Peace.
Forgiveness. Contentment. Hope. A little bit louder. Righteousness,
true love,
I heard one over here, assurance, promises,
heaven,
security, we're getting good, keep them rolling, a clean page, yeah, we can rewrite our story for God's glory. Here's an oldie but goodie hymn. I'm not sure many of you will know it. Some of us will. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Counting our blessings, they're uncountable. And God is so good. And we're going to see God's heart on what He wants to do to bless His people and the unfortunate tragedy of not receiving God's blessing. Jeremy, if you could show us that picture that we have on here, hopefully this goes right. This is part of the world. Getting closer. Anybody know where we're going? Jerusalem is right. Man knows his geography. I wanted you to get an idea, and you could put the lights back on. God tells us this in 2 Chronicles 16:9. And Jeremy, if you could put that on the board. Can you put that verse on? Oh, we got a different computer. All right. You all got your Bibles? No, I won't have you turn. Let me read 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. And it ends with this: you have done a foolish thing, and from now on, you will be at war. in the context of that verse, and we use that verse so much, God is looking all over the earth. And that's why I wanted you to get the picture as God looks down on Israel. God really doesn't have to look down. He tells us he looks down so we can get a better perspective. God is everywhere. God is here right now. So he sees what's going on. God sees Israel all the time. But he looks down and he's looking for people to follow him. Sad part of this portion in 2 Chronicles, he's talking about King Asa. King Asa was one of the only 8 good kings of Judah. There was no good kings in Israel when they split after Solomon. But King Asa didn't end his life well. He did not trust God. He did not call out to God when he found out the nation of Israel was going to come down and attack him. So he went to a foreign nation and asked for help rather than God. And then God says this, I'm looking to and fro over the earth for people who I can strengthen. Trust in me. Kind of gives us a heart, an idea of God's heart on what he's looking for. Let's go to Malachi 3:6, and you all can turn to that. We've been looking at this book of Malachi, God's messenger, to a time of Israel where they as well were not following God. When we look at the Old Testament, much of the Old Testament is filled with his people not following him. That is tragic. And we want to glean out of that some principles for us and what it looks like for us to follow him. But in this portion, he's pouring out his heart again to them through Malachi, and we're going to read it, take some principles for that, and then we're going to move into where we are right here and right now. I'm going to read this, and if you follow along with me, verse 6, chapter 3. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. What a good thing that is. God is faithful to his promises, as we've talked earlier. Steve talked about that. Because of God's faithfulness to his promises, Israel is not destroyed here, because God will not change or he keeps his promises. Verse 7, ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. What a tragedy. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord, if you would follow me, of which they are not. Let me just touch a little bit on this whole aspect of what God is asking them here. When God says about offerings, in Israel, it had a much different government than we do. We hopefully pay our taxes. The government hopefully handles all that money well, and it can be distributed, and they can accomplish many things. In Israel, God's intent was, I'm the government. I will oversee you. And down through the ages, he had his prophets to proclaim that and the message to the people. And if you know the story of Israel, that wasn't enough for them. They wanted kings, and that was a failure, and they got into so much trouble. But God, through the law, set up a system for the nation of Israel to prosper in every way if they followed it. And the tithes and the offerings was a huge part of that. This is an interesting study. We don't have time today, but if you study the whole system of the Levites and the priest, God was setting them up as the officials to really run the country primarily in a spiritual way, and then everything else fell into place with the laws that God had for them. So what they were supposed to do is when they came with their offerings, they were to come, and George talked about this, he primarily talked about the quality of the offering. And they were bringing in Malachi, if you remember, blemished offerings, broken legs. Here, in this passage, he's primarily talking about the quantity of the offerings. And they weren't bringing much. And God said, I want you to bring for tithes a tenth of all you have, whether what you grow, your livestock, bring it in, because the government, the Levites, the priest, had no income except what you brought. So they had to live on that. And if they skimped on what they brought in the amount, then that was hindered a great deal. And as we think this through, God had it even set up in marvelous ways, not only to provide for the Levites, but if you read the law, he also provided for the poor, the orphans, the widows, so that if they would be faithful to doing God's instructions, there would be so much that everyone would be taken care of. What a marvelous blessing. But they would not. And they even questioned God. Where did we rob you? When we think about this, when God asks us to do things, he's not doing us to penalize us, but it's a system of blessings. And Israel missed out a great deal on this blessing. Again, a message that Malachi was telling the people that they really didn't change and repent of in this portion. And that's a tragedy. I want us to go to now, here and now, and what that means for us as we live in a new covenant under God. All right, God's looking down. Let's see if we can find out where we're going now. Did you guess? That's right. Sorry about this. I didn't realize it would be this slow. It's getting closer. Are you recognizing anything? There's the high school in the field. Here we are. Everybody wave your hand, see if we can see it. All right. There we go. We come forward some 2,400 years, and God still has the same message for us. Let me read Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians is such a powerful, wonderful book to help us understand what you and I have as the church in Christ. Here's what Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. If you want to, you can turn to Ephesians 3. Just want to read a small portion of what God has for us. Ephesians chapter 3, starting with verse 14 to the end of the chapter. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom this whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart your hearts through faith. And that's plural there. That's talking about the church. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. This is God's heart for us. This is every spiritual blessing. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Israel would have been blessed with great blessings, but they chose not to follow God's mandate, God's laws, God's provisions for a nation. You and I, as the church, have been given powerful blessings in Christ. And my question is, are you experiencing those blessings? Even if life is hard, as we think about the persecuted church, I want to tell you, even though they're being persecuted, for them standing up for the name of Christ, I guarantee you God in his grace is there, and they are appreciating it. We can appreciate that. And I want to share just three blessings that I think are powerful for the Christian. As you mentioned, many wonderful blessings here. The first blessing, the spiritual blessing that we have in Christ, is a relationship with God himself. I heard this a couple years ago and never forgot it. I heard heaven is a blessing, and it is. When I get to heaven, there is going to be much blessing there. I will get to meet my grandfather, who is my namesake. I'm Charles Leroy Wasson. My grandfather is Samuel Leroy Wasson. I was told he was a godly man. Never met him. He died before I was born. But I will have the wonderful opportunity to meet him. What a blessing. You will have that same, the loved ones that is going before us. We will have, the scripture says, no more pain. No more sorrow. No more sickness. No more death. The beauty of heaven will just be beyond our measure. Here's the question for you. Will that be enough for you? Boy, I was gripped when I heard that question, because I think about that. And I can't imagine what it's going to be like to experience that. But if that is all we get, we are missing the mark immensely. God is what we get face to face. That's what our hearts need to understand. Here's what the scripture says. It says this in a few places. Ephesians talks about it. Romans talks about it. Before I was touched by God, my eyes opened, and I received by faith Jesus as my Savior to remove my sins, a clean slate, forgiveness, I was an enemy of God. Sometimes we don't think about that. Romans says the wrath of God is being revealed upon all ungodliness. Before Christ, I was totally ungodly. And the blessing that I have is that is removed, and I can have fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. I'm really building a little bit on Jim and a few weeks ago what he shared about. But if we want to understand the blessing, this is number one. Don't settle for anything less. I can experience God. God, because of Christ, has lavished His love upon me. Not only I was separated and I was an enemy of God and His wrath was upon me, and I miss all that. Now, in Christ, His love is lavished on me. You talk about extremes. That's my blessing. It's yours and ours to have. I can know God. I can now have sweet delight in a relationship that is second to none. Oneness with the Godhead. Ultimate fulfillment. I can talk to God because I accepted and He talks to me, all because of Calvary. Do you and I take the advantage of this blessing? If we don't, we're going to be put in the category of Israel. They missed the blessing. What a blessing. I want to encourage you. Spend time with God. I want to encourage me. There's nothing like spending time with God, and I know that He wants to spend time with me. Relationship with God is the greatest blessing we will ever have. Second to none. Number two blessing that I get because I am in Christ and you in Christ. We can have love and unity that the world knows nothing about. I think was it Kim who said peace? Is that you? Peace. The word means unity. Take this in the right frame. It's certainly good to try to have world peace. And when you listen to the American, Miss American pageants and some of the others, their hope is world peace. World peace is a joke in the eyes of unbelievers. Not only it will not happen, it cannot happen. Only world peace can come from the Prince of Peace. And you and I have the blessing right here and now, with all the turmoil that we go through, to have unity and love with each other. And sadly, we don't. James says we bicker and fight because we have our own desires. My message today is for us to recognize we don't have to live that way. Don mentioned about Paul Tripp coming in a couple weeks. One of the things that Paul Tripp really drove home to my heart when he taught here was, and he talked about this unity horizontal, okay? We cannot have it if we don't have love and relationship with God. We learned that in 1 John. If I walk in the light as He is in the light, I have fellowship one with another. We here at Hope can have something that is so special if we both work at it, allowing the Spirit of God to live in us. Paul Tripp would say this. Boy, this is true. The Spirit of God that lives in Ron Bierma, and I know the Spirit of God lives in Ron. I see it often. And the Spirit of God that lives in Chick, and I see evidence of God, and I give Him praise for it, never will fight with one another. The Spirit of God never fights with itself. That's why Jim talked about the Godhead. They got along for eternity. They didn't even need to create us. They did because they wanted to. So the power of that is, if Ron and I understand that, and we lay our lives aside, and we die to our selfish nature, there's nothing, nothing that Ron and I cannot work out for the glory of God. Because my focus is on glorifying Christ. if I'm walking in the Spirit. And Ron's focus is glorifying Christ. And then God works something special. The same with marriages. Possibly it is a step higher. It's just a marvelous thing that God can do. And we don't step into that blessing. And here's the third reason. And this is why I think this is happens. Number one, because of the work of Christ, I can have relationship with the Godhead. Second to none. Two, I can have fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ that's unlike anything the world will ever experience. It's marvelous. And third, I can now work in my own heart the difficulties that this old man tries to live out every day. Another way of saying it is, if I understand that my identity is in Christ, I can begin to get rid of this old guy who wants to have self-esteem at times. You know, there's a range there where we have people who want high self-esteem and they're arrogant and boastful and proud. And then we have these others who they're low self-esteem and they're in a depression and they're working it out. And this is how the world does it. And then it just makes it so easy for everybody to be down on each other. Here's what you and I need to understand. When it comes to looking inside and understanding who Christ is in me, not to have high self-esteem or low self-esteem, I'm to have no self-esteem. I'm not my own anymore. I've been bought with a price. My hope is Christ living in me. Chick needs to step down, get out of the way, and Christ, who'll still take my gifts and personality, will use me in a mighty way. I don't have to be defined by the world. I'm no longer a slave to the need of affirmation. That's a powerful thing today. We want to be affirmed, and it's not wrong to be affirmed and told you're doing a great job. But how often have you experienced when you've done something and you didn't get the pat on the back? I'll never do that again. You know? How do we react when those things happen? If we understand the blessing that we have in Christ, I don't have to respond that way. My Savior's got it covered. If I'm not affirmed or appreciated, I can be okay with that. I should be okay. And if you and I learn to live in Christ, those things will begin to fall off, and we won't need all this patting on the back. It's not wrong to be appreciated for what you do, but we're living in a world where we will be stepped on a lot of the times. And if we get a handle on understanding what God has made us to be, what we are now in Christ, we can overcome all of that. To me, that is a powerful blessing that God is helping me to learn. I can overlook a lot. I can learn to forgive anything. Why? Why can I learn to forgive any wrong that's done against me? Anybody want to shoot for that? Because of the cross. What I've been forgiven is huge. If someone wrongs me, forgiving them in comparison to what I've been given is so small. And my understanding of the work of Christ and His forgiveness for me absolutely can help blow that away. And yet, if you're honest with yourself, you deal with that every day. And you don't have to in Christ. God sees it. God will take care of it. I want to tell you, when God, who looks from the heavens as a picture, sees these pastors in huge persecution, one day he will make it right. And it will be worth it all, is what their response will be. The privilege of serving our God. So, do you understand the blessings you have? I want to end with this little shot of a video. Most of you may have heard of Indiana Jones. The very first one they did, after they find the Ark of the Covenant, and we're not talking about the theological stuff and how wrong they are in that, okay? It's not the point. After they found the Ark of the Covenant, they put it in storage, if you remember that, and then there's this final line that I want you to leave you with. So if we could have the lights, maybe you guys could hit the shutters there. Let's catch this.
Done your country a great service, and we thank you. And we trust you found the settlement satisfactory.
Oh, the money's fine. The situation is totally unacceptable.
Well, gentlemen, I guess that just about wraps it up.
Where is the Ark?
I thought we'd settled that. The Ark is somewhere very safe.
From whom?
The Ark is a source of unspeakable power, and it has to be researched.
And it will be, I assure you, Dr. Brody. Dr. Jones, we have top men working on it right now.
Who?
Top men.
Hey, what happened? You don't look very happy.
Fools. Bureaucratic
fools.
What'd
they say?
They don't know what they've got there.
Well, I know what I've got here.
Good cutoff. Fools, they don't know what they got there. My response to you and I, are we foolish? Living out every day and understanding what we do have and not applying it. We can have relationship with the Creator of all. God, in His love, wants us to love and forgive each other all the time. And I can work out the self-images that I wrestle with in a powerful way because Christ lives in me. Let's pray. Father, what great blessings we have in Christ. And I, for one, don't take advantage of it. I become accustomed to it, and really, I rob you of the time that you want me to spend with you. And I know my brothers and sisters here recognize that as well. And Lord, as the message from Malachi comes to us, help us to realize that if we would follow your ways that are so wonderfully mapped out for us in Scripture, we would encounter fulfillment of life like no other. Thank you that you satisfy. Thank you, Lord, that you are enough. Help me to live that way for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.